First round of the NBA draft last night. We got some winners and losers for you. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. If you are not dialed in, locked in, this draft is a little light on star power. But the Lakers end up becoming the headline, of course. Not because Bronny went in the first round. He did not, LeBron's son. But they did get Dalton Knecht, who you may remember from the NCAA tournament, SEC Player of the Year. Good story, junior college guy who ended up getting this big growth spurt, then went to Northern Colorado, then went to Tennessee. So they get him at 17, Pearl, and he's a 23-year-old shooter who can, in theory, contribute right away for the Lakers.
I can't believe the Lakers, after all their chaos, they have J.J. Redick as their front runner. Then they offer Danny Hurley a contract for the coaching job. Then they go back to J.J. Redick, and no one knows who's in charge. They luck into what seems like the best pick of the first round. It makes me mad, actually. I feel like they stumbled into this pick that seems like he should have gone higher. Now, I guess the NBA obviously is smarter than me at this, and they thought he was too old at 23, because no 23-year-old has ever panned out. But it just feels like, I mean, you tell me you watched Reed Sheppard last year and he was better than Dalton Knecht, 15 picks better. I know Reed Sheppard looks like a great prospect, but still, obviously Dalton Knecht would kill these guys last year. Then again, he was 23 beating up 19-year-olds.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's hard to evaluate. It's a Michael Penix debate in the NFL.
Yeah.
Where you have an old guy, but Dalton Knecht grew into his body. There's not a lot of guys who've had the exact same trajectory that he's had coming out of a small school to one year at a big school. I mean, we all saw it on TV. He was dominating guys. He was on fire. It's just bizarre to me.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a little bit like what happened to Kentucky in the NCAA tournament. They lost to Oakland in the first round because that guy, Jack Golke, was 25 and was just raining threes all over him.
But it's nothing like that, because Dalton Knecht was doing it to everybody, and Knecht wasn't just threes. He was dunking on everybody's head.
No, I mean,
he's a high flyer, and also he could create his own shot. He's not really J.J. Redick. Like, he was not a catch-and-shoot guy by any means. Like, he had to get a pick. He dribbles, like, I don't get it. I mean, and I think I'm not alone. There are a lot of experts on Twitter last night. Our buddy, I have a tweet from Seth Davis, who covers college basketball. He said, all these teams are going to seriously, all caps, regret not taking Dalton Knecht. Pure malpractice, and now they made him mad. I think, of course, college guys have a college bias, but it's just kind of crazy. You watch your eyeballs that Dalton Knecht was so much better than everybody, and that he fell. It seems like an analytics-driven move.
Well, or maybe they feel like this is it. He's topped out.
And yep.
That's the other thing about taking guys who are 23. You're asking, now, Knecht, to his credit, has gotten better at every level that he's played on, and he gets to Tennessee, and one year he's the SEC Player of the Year, and he looked great. But does he have another gear? So then he's got a high, but he does have a high floor. So maybe that's a positive.
The other question about Dalton Knecht's game is going to be the defense, because he got picked on a little bit defensively on the ball at Tennessee. Tennessee was a great defensive team, but it wasn't necessarily because of him. And now playing in the NBA, a lot better one-on-one players all across the court. Is he a guy you have to hide? I think it's something that also could have been a reason why he slipped.
Well, I mean, they hide Luka Doncic, and he's probably the best player in the entire NBA.
Luka Doncic?
Well, according to Seth Davis, they're all going to seriously regret. No, I mean, he's going to have to get better playing defense. I think, you know, we talk about this a lot. Isn't that in his control? You know, I always think that there are some guys who have a nose for it, a knack for it, but I also think playing defense is about, it's about effort and how much better do you want to get at it.
Well, I mean, I think everything you just said, you could have said about Grayson Allen. He's been a very productive NBA player.
Yeah, he just got paid.
Yeah, for sure. I think Allen's probably a little bit faster than Jay, but he's not.
They're built similar with gigantically long arms.
I know. I think that we've seen a lot of guys, though, come into the league that have a shot, and you think, okay, like, just because a guy can shoot, he definitely should be able to stick. Like a Nick Stauskas, for example. Like some guys that you just think, okay, his shot will automatically get him on the court, and you could have a good shot, but if you can't guard anybody, it's just like you can't put him on the floor. Like Duncan Robinson's been in and out of the rotation for the Miami Heat. He might be the very best shooter in the NBA, and he can't keep a consistent rotation spot because of his defense.
But he's gotten paid. You know, what really helps.
And they regret that.
What really helps Dalton Knecht here is that the 16 picks before him are so speculative this year. Like it's a low bar. I mean, if it was a good draft, then it could fall. But the odds are a lot of these guys are long, like, projects. These are 3 or 4 year projects. So I think Dalton Knecht's going to look pretty good when he's actually contributing this year because he's 23. And then some French kid is in the G League who went 5 picks before him. I think this is going to work out for the Lakers.
All right, let's do some winners and losers from the first round of the draft. Again, we have today, the second round doesn't start until, I think, 4 o'clock this afternoon. Okay, so we'll see what happens with Bronny and with Kyle Filipowski. And who else? Tyler Kolek, I believe.
Kolek's out there.
There's a couple guys who are still floating around. Okay, Perloff, your first winner is who?
Okay, I'm going to go with the T-Wolves, who got Rob Dillingham in a trade with the Spurs. I can't believe the T-Wolves came out of here with a player, because they were, wasn't the offseason storyline that they really have no financial options to add more talent? I felt like they needed a little more offense. I think, obviously, if Anthony Edwards wasn't scoring, there were points where nobody else could score. And Carl Anthony Towns is so come and go that this seems like the perfect fit, beyond perfect fit. Now, Rob Dillingham was okay at Kentucky. Obviously, you mentioned they lost in the first round. But Kentucky guards,
I mean... He was hurt, wasn't he?
Look at the Kentucky guards. I mean, it's... you have to give them the benefit of the doubt, because all of them have been amazing. Tyrese Maxey, Devin Booker, Jamal Murray. So it feels like whatever he did in college, it doesn't even matter. He's going to blow up. Tyrese Maxey is my model here. It feels like this was a steal. And I don't think the Spurs got a lot of 2031 pick that's probably going to be like the 23rd pick. I just don't understand that move. I feel like he'd be great for the Spurs, right? Like, wouldn't that be a good player to have around Victor Wembanyama?
I thought so. It was a little surprising. And then I'm like, how much is Dillingham going to play? Now you're going to a contender in Minnesota, and are you going to be able to get on the floor? Like,
but they're kind of thin, though. Because their starting point guard, Mike Conley, is going to be 38.
Yeah, that's true. Tangentially off of that, I'll make my first winner John Calipari off the draft last night. Last year, after 15 seasons at Kentucky, and he comes up with two more lottery picks to add to his resume of sending guys to the NBA. I know Kentucky fans got fed up with Cal and the losing in the tournament and not being like a true championship contender, but Reed Sheppard goes in the lottery. You just mentioned Dillingham ends up getting first taken by the Spurs, then traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves last night. So how about Cal as a big winner from last night? His final sort of salute to Kentucky, two more lottery picks who are under his tutelage. All right, you got a loser for us. Let's go flip-flop back and forth.
All right, this one is very controversial. I'm piling on, because a lot of people have said this. Zach Edey and Memphis Grizzlies, you have a Ferrari in Ja Morant, and now you have a pickup truck in Zach Edey. You saw him running at the NBA scouting combine. The dude is slower than me, and that is a feat. I just don't quite understand, like, the Grizzlies should run up and down on teams, because you think of Ja Morant, he's so explosive if he gets healthy and gets his act together. It just feels like, and a lot of people said this, it feels like such a weird fit. I guess there would be a role for him, but I don't get it. Like, the one team that Zach Edey I would not really picture him on is Memphis. So I'm going to put that situation as a loser, the whole situation.
We're doing both winners and losers.
Both Edey and Memphis, like, oh, man, that's where he's going?
Well, I've seen people say this would be great for Ja to come around screens being set by Zach Edey. But to your point, they do a lot in transition. But maybe they're thinking in the playoffs when sort of the game slows down a little bit more and you need to do a few more set pieces.
That could be true.
But maybe Zach Edey is a help there.
I saw a funny tweet. John Morant's going to go up and down the court seven times before Zach Edey gets over. There's just two diametrically opposed people. Maybe it's the, you're right. A Zach Edey screen is pretty gigantic. I mean, that's hard to get around. So that's a good point. And the playoffs do slow down. But I kind of agree with people who said this felt like an odd fit.
Definitely. Okay, winners and losers from the first round of the draft. I'm going to go with like the literal definition of a loser here, which is actually Dalton Connect. By the virtue of not being a top 10 pick, lost $16 million last night because he doesn't get all of that guaranteed money. It would have been $34 million guaranteed. It goes down to $18 million guaranteed. He literally lost tons of money. Now, he might have ended up in the best spot with the Lakers, but let's not pretend like there was no, at least individually, there was nothing that stung because he fell out of the top 10 last night. So Dalton Connect. Yes, maybe a winner going to the Lakers, but definitely a loser because $16 million that would have been guaranteed is now gone.
So you're saying for $16 million, you would rather be, say, lost in Washington just in the Neverland of NBA than be a Lakers, a playoff contender next to LeBron James with a coach who's already talking about ATO sets where he's going to get you open.
Listen, he hasn't panned out yet, and we have a long history of guys being this age who have not panned out. I'm just saying, if you're talking about winners and losers, Dalton Connect lost money last night, a lot of it by not being a top 10
pick. This is the NBA, and I was seeing some things on what the next salary cap is going to be. He has a chance to make that money back times twofold. You don't have to be that good to get $400 million in the NBA anymore.
Well, who's your next winner?
Okay, my next winner is going to be the country of France.
Oh, yeah. They're number one.
Did you have them too? Sorry.
I did, but I was going to go specifically on Tony Parker, but go ahead.
Oh, no.
I
just think it's really interesting that I'm all about Team Canada in basketball, but now and it's based on the interviews last night. Every French guy who got drafted, he came with Monica McNutt, and those guys have a lot of swag. They're like, let's go French hoops, and I had no idea France was such a big basketball country. I remember Tony Parker, obviously, and Boris Diaw and the crew, but it feels like this is a group of young players who are going to be really interesting together, and like they're all buddies, and except that there's some rivalries. It just seems like a cool group.
Yeah, they were all emotional last night, too. All the French players definitely feeling it. Well, obviously, you got Wembanyama last year, right? 7'4", and he's sort of this unicorn. And now here come, like, I want to say more quote-unquote normal or typical guys, because these are all the top 1% of 1% of athletes. But it's not just the outlier of Wembanyama, who's this freakish, looking person. Now it's kind of, these are the sort of 6'9", 3-and-D guys, right? This is the more rank-and-file dudes. Rotation players in the NBA that France is now going to be providing for this country. But why I was saying, or for this league, Tony Parker is the godfather over there. They were talking about it last night on the broadcast. A lot of this doesn't happen without Tony Parker, so I think he ends up being a big winner last night.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't the dream team. It was Tony Parker who got all this going?
Apparently, he's really involved in French basketball right now. So as far as developing these dudes, Tony Parker is who everyone should thank.
It's amazing to me there's so many tall French people. But, okay.
Well, they're coming from other countries. That was a great point, I thought, made by Jonathan Gavoni, is like it's one of the most diverse places in the world.
Right.
And you're seeing these people coming from Africa, coming from the Middle East. Like, you're getting, just like the soccer team has become this star-studded team because you're getting these amazing athletes from all over. We're seeing that now in basketball.
Why are they all six? How can there be that many 6'11 people? Yeah,
I think they're not coming from France. I think at least their parents aren't, and you're seeing former French basketball players, having kids, and former French athletes having kids. So I think that's why you're seeing some of these really long athletic athletes.
So France, definitely a huge winner last night. I've got another winner for you, and this is nail salons in Philadelphia. Salons in Philadelphia, this is about to be your time, because you had McCain from Duke, who famously has the nails painted all the time, and they look great. The legend is he got a manicure before a game and played awesome. Yeah. So this is like more of a superstitious thing. He's really leaned into it. He was a great player at Duke. Your Philadelphia 76ers took him, Perloff, at 16, which is one spot before Dalton Connect went to the Lakers. People love his personality, think he could be great with Joel Embiid in that locker room, and just sort of not just a great player, but also a good vibes guy. And nail salons in Philly, stand up, because he's going to be a great customer.
Wait. People love, so everyone's excited because they got a good TikToker in the backcourt. Why would anybody want? The Sixers are getting as close to irrelevant. I mean, I'm so off the bandwagon. They're not doing a single thing. They're not going to do a single thing right this offseason.
We're not allowing you to be off the bandwagon. You've got to stay on. Go back
to the Pistons.
Good luck with all that.
It was
very funny last night. They're talking about McCain from Duke, and they're like, this is the most focused guy we've seen. He is all about basketball. He also has 2.8 million TikTok followers, and he's just like in the back doing these TikTok dances. Those were the highlights they were running, not the basketball stuff.
You have the most unserious star in all professional sports in Joel Embiid, and you're adding this to the mix. It just feels like the Sixers are leaning towards mediocrity. I speak for all of Philadelphia. Like, I don't think there's a lot of faith that maybe they'll overpay a 75-year-old Paul George, but this is bad. They should have taken Connect. I don't care if Connect never works out. Like, he's exactly what they need. I'm not sure. Like, so Maxey and McCain's going to play behind Maxey. I don't even understand what he's doing there. Totally irrelevant team. They're falling fast.
I mean, Kane can shoot it.
He's shooting.
So is he in the backcourt with Maxi?
That's the weird thing, because he's short. He's 6'1", 6'2". Maxi's about 6'3", probably. I mean, Maxi maybe moves back over to the two. I mean, to me, he's your backup point guard. You didn't have one. Kyle Lowry's 100, so he's not going to be back next year. So I think McCain's your, like, you know, spark plug off the bench kind of guy.
No, yeah, EJ, I believe Kyle Lowry is contractually obligated to play for the Knicks along with everyone who ever stepped foot on the court in Villanova.
That is true, yeah. Sorry, Perlow. I don't think McCain's such a terrible pick.
Yeah, people like, I guess people like the McCain pick, but.
Good player. I just don't know what the fit. I think that, yeah. I see what you're saying about that.
The other thing, too, is like, I've seen other teams making moves, and the 76ers have all this cap space, and like, this pick doesn't really mean that much. Like,
yeah, but they'd be smart not to go after Paul George, don't you think? You hate that. So if they're going to spend all this money on Paul George, you're not going to like that either. So kind of darned if you do, darned if you don't.
I don't think they're going to do anything. I mean, honestly, I don't think they have a move up their sleeve. It's getting late for Joel Embiid. Embiid's probably going to want to be out, I'd say, within a year or two. And I don't blame him.
Daryl Morey last night said that they're planning to be the best team in the East.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
How you can execute that plan is the better question. Yeah. All right, you got any more winners and losers?
Oh, I do not. We talked about this first hour. I don't understand really what the Spurs are doing with Stephon Castle at number four, because, I mean, they took Sohan last year for his defense. I just feel like this team is not exactly offensively high-powered around Wembanyama. The fact that I was saying to EJ before, I felt like they took Bruce Bowen at number four overall. Like, why is it that all of a sudden this, like, everyone's like into defense now? Number four seems like you should get a really good offensive player. And the way they were talking about Castle last night is like, that's not in the cards.
Well, the
like,
offense is going to run through Wemby.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. It's just like, is this exciting? Like, are Spurs building something here?
I know Bruce Bowen was pretty important on all of those championships.
It used to be
teams.
Bruce Bowen be like, you know, the you Kobe get that guy style. In the second round.
Oh, yeah.
Four overall is really rich. Four, you get like Kristaps Porzingis.
I know, but this is not that kind of draft.
I understand. Maybe that's part of the disappointment. It just feels like, wow, that's a number four overall. And Shepard felt pretty thin for the number three pick. And the first two guys feel, I was reading about the number two pick, Sarr. It just feels like a very, very thin top five.
Well, that was going to be my final loser, was going to be Alex Sarr, because someone still has to explain to me why this dude only wanted to go to D.C. Like, does he know something that we don't know? Because that team is sorry.
Well, I heard that he wants to be a main piece of the offense, and in Atlanta he would not be.
Yeah, but Atlanta, we don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know who's going to be on that team.
Yeah, right. Trae Young and Murray could be gone. So I don't know. I know that Atlanta gets some flack about not being a great sports town. I think it actually is. D.C., you're really climbing uphill there, especially with the basketball team. Maybe if you play for the Commanders, you got a little something going for you. Capitals, maybe the Nationals, but not for the basketball team. They are as irrelevant as they come.
You would think, since Quinn Snyder, head coach of the Hawks, kind of developed Rudy Gobert and turned him into a Defensive Player of the Year. Someone mentioned as a Hall of Famer yesterday, which is kind of interesting. I was like, he probably is a Hall of Famer. But either way, you would think Al Sarr, Frenchman, great defensive player, a little different, but you would think that maybe he would be excited about playing for Quinn Snyder. Kendrick Perkins, shout out to him. He just asked him point blank, what about Atlanta do you not like? And he wouldn't answer the question. He was like, I'm not saying that I don't like him. Like, you know, you can't just look at me turning down a workout and say that I don't want to go there.
Well, but then, kinda.
Yeah, I think he can. Kinda. I think that's kind of fair.
I'm wondering, I'm like, the guy knows that, like, even though D.C. is the capital of the country, like, it doesn't mean that it's the best basketball place to go to, right?
Well, I feel like, I actually like his mentality. He's like, I want to get shots.
You'll get them.
Somebody's got to shoot in that team. They just got rid of Denny Avdija.
Yeah, right. They
traded
him.
One of the good players they had, they traded. So good luck with that.
And by the way, I wouldn't get too high on Atlanta either. It's not like Atlanta's that much different than Washington. They're all starting to, I don't know if they have the picks, but they're all circling around next year's draft as well, right?
Another pickup for the Blazers. We should mention that last night as we were talking about Klingon. They did trade for Denny Avdija.
Yeah, I mean, and then that's the thing about Atlanta, though, is we don't know what they're going to be, because if you still have Trae Young Murray, I guess you're probably still floating around the plan. If you don't, well, now you're talking about a rebuild. So he might have gotten shots either place, and I would rather play for Quinn Snyder than play in Washington. That would be me if I was Alex Sarr. So I didn't really quite understand that.
Don't worry. What I saw, Sarr, he's not going to be playing anywhere anytime soon. Doesn't look that good. Even his highlight reel is not that good. Sorry, one more winner, and I got to get the guy's name. Denver got back into the first round, right, and took
Ryan Dunn.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and before the draft, Gavoni was saying this is going to be the steal of the draft, and Denver got him. The Dayton big man, right?
No, sorry, that's Phoenix. Phoenix got Deron Holmes, 22.
Oh, okay.
Denver got Ryan Dunn, the swingman defender from Virginia. Ryan Dunn was considered by far the best defensive player in the draft.
Oh, so who? Tell me about Deron Holmes, Jonathan Gavoni, the one I learned who all these guys were last night. They were saying this guy is the steal of the draft before the draft and after the draft. So I'm sorry, I couldn't remember where Denver got in there.
No, Deron Holmes is a really talented offensive player. I mean, he's one of those guys, if you're looking for a guy who had college production, he had a lot of it. He can rebound, he can score inside, he has a little bit of a 3-point shot. Phoenix needs guys who can go out there and, like, give them minutes. Like, that was the problem. They talk about the teams running out of players. Like, they seem to just run out of players, not necessarily because of injuries, because of guys not being good enough to be in the NBA. If Deron Holmes comes in, he should be able to play immediately. So I thought that was a good pick as well.
855-212-4227. Winners and losers from the first round of last night's draft. We still have Bronny James out there. We still have Kyle Filipowski from Duke out there. We still have Tyler Kolek out there from Marquette. So some interesting...
Johnny Furphy, I don't know how he didn't get drafted from Kansas. 6'9", can shoot the ball, lights out shooter. I mean, that was the one that I still am trying to figure out what happened. I know he's 19, a little raw, but all these raw guys that got drafted that can't shoot, and the guy who can shoot doesn't get picked and played at Kansas. We saw him play in the NCAA tournament. That was the one that I didn't understand. He's still left in the second round.
Great name, Furphy.
Australian.
855-212-4227. Okay, we have some NFL stuff we got to update you on as well, not just basketball today. Coming up in about 40 minutes, I eat the disgusting tuna fish jello olive thing. I lost a bet. I'm paying that bet off today. If you want to watch, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and we'll be live on X.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. We're having fun breaking down the NBA draft. The broadcast was quite a thing last night, Maggie.
Which one were you generally watching? There were two.
I started on ESPN, okay. And then so EJ reminded us via text that it was also on ABC.
Yep.
I'm going to say Stephen A's been busy lately. It didn't seem like he had been hours and hours breaking down.
Is that what they're paying Stephen A for, though?
No. He was good on the current teams, but I saw this tweet made me laugh so hard last night. Like, seventh round, Mel Kiper's like, this guy weighs 242 pounds. He has short arms. He did this in high school, like a seventh round guard. Stephen A, I've never heard of this man in my life. By like the eighth pick.
Yeah, I know, but Mel only has one job to do. Need Stephen A on everything. He's got to weigh in on literally everything in the world.
But then, for some reason, the ABC and ESPN broadcasts were so far behind Woj that they're always in that awkward position in a draft where a trade has happened and they're talking about the fit with a player being on a team. So Stephen A had this long monologue about what a great fit the Knicks pick was. And they was like, well, that pick was traded 14 minutes ago. So it's really
He's already
hard.
Passed his physical for the day.
But ask your broadcasting question. Yeah. I don't understand. If Woj is breaking the trade, doesn't he call the truck and say, be careful talking about this fit? And they were a good 10 to 20 minutes behind on the trades. It's really hard. I know you've worked some drafts before.
It's
yourself at a tough spot, but it was way worse last night.
I feel like, you know, we always have the classic thing where guys are wearing the wrong hat when they're getting the photograph with the commissioner, which is funny because it's something that really doesn't happen in the NFL. And I don't know why, but it rarely does happen in the NFL where a guy has the wrong shirt and the wrong hat.
I'm 24 hours behind Woj. I thought Ryan Dunn was going to Denver, but it was a problem. I mean, and I don't know. I think it's the timing of the draft, right? Because some of these deals can't be finalized until, I guess, free agency technically starts.
Right.
But even last night, there were times where Adam Silver goes up and he announces that a trade would happen, but it happened a half hour ago.
Well, that's normal because they do have to make it official. But what I didn't understand, when Rob Dillingham was traded number 8 pick from the Spurs in Minnesota, they spent a good, and Woj had tweeted it, they spent another good 10 minutes talking about what a great fit he was in San Antonio. I'm like, didn't somebody get in their ear and say, hey, this might be moving?
I think they're just trying to keep the TV show the TV show, and then whatever happens on social media, they act like it just doesn't exist.
But it's their guy. That's the thing.
No, I know.
I mean, it's Woj who's running the show, and he used to be a big part of the draft coverage. I'm not sure I saw a lot of him last night.
He was on ESPN. I don't know. If you watch a lot of ABC, then he might not have been on there a lot. ESPN, he was coming in, and they were trying their best, but it's hard. You know, it's And something the NBA's got to fix. Like Maggie says, in the NFL draft, you'll literally see the stage change from the Lions to the Texans. And you're like, oh, wow, a trade just happened. And then Schefter will say, hey, yes, a trade's happened. And then Goodell will go and say, hey, this pick was traded. And now with this pick, X, Y, and Z happens. You don't even see that in the NBA. They just go up there and just say the Knicks picked the guy, you know, who's going to somewhere else.
Yeah.
They don't care.
It's like one of the flaws, I think, kind of in the viewing process, in like the viewing experience. I'm going to be honest. I also, though, you know, the fashion stuff I thought was rather muted last night. You didn't have like Grady Dick who shows up when like the red sequins and stuff like that. I will give you the one thing that will age poorly, though, because there's always something that's going to age poorly.
Uh-oh.
It's Stephon Castle having a chain that is a big diamond castle.
A lot of guys were wearing big chains last night.
No, the fact that his last name is Castle and he has a big diamond thing that's it looks like a princess, you know, like a medieval.
Like Peach's Castle from Super Mario
Brothers. Yeah, from Super Mario Brothers, like just in diamonds. Like, you're really rich now. You're not going to want to buy stuff like that anymore, I imagine. It's a little too on the nose.
What do you guys think of Reed Shepard's just plain off-green suit?
So out of place.
He also looks so young. Am I right? Like,
yeah. Babyface.
He looks like he's like the office intern. It was just a funny look. And he's small, too. The other thing is like, wait, this little kid is getting drafted? His parents were, whoa. His mom with that Kentucky accent, that was really fun. I liked all the
interviews. They mislabeled his dad. You guys see that? Listen, we get stuff wrong all the time.
Oh, it's Jeff Shepard, yeah.
Yeah, they called him John on the graphic. Listen, we get stuff wrong all the time. Yeah. I'm not going to call out another broadcast. But this is like what you do.
I will call out that entire broadcast. It felt like the WNBA draft was a gigantic event. The draft last night felt like something they had to cover because it was on the schedule. I felt no excitement from either broadcast. Found it really disappointing.
Well, so here's the thing, though. At least they didn't try to oversell you like, hey, this is 1996 and you got Iverson and Ray Allen and Kobe Bryant. They didn't try to do that to you. I felt like it was very appropriate for what they believe the level of player that got drafted last night. It's like, hey, he's going to be a role player. Nobody said, oh, here's the next superstar is going to save a franchise.
But here's my question and the problem I had, though. Do you feel like for a lot of people who are not familiar with a lot of these players, because a lot of them are overseas playing at Ignite or on college teams that maybe didn't win a lot, quite frankly, do you feel like they learned a lot by the players that were drafted? Like, who these players are, what their games are like, what to expect from them? Like, you know, thank God, I hope nobody did a drinking game that said 3-D.
Yeah.
Because you'd be dead today. You'd
in
be
a dead. Coma, at the very least.
And I know it's a buzzword, and I know it does describe some of these talents, but, like, I don't know if people really learned anything last night, which has always been my big issue with how they cover the NBA draft. I feel like the NFL draft, I learn a lot. Even by guys I know, I learn a lot. I feel like this, you turned on, does anyone know more about Zachary Richechet than they did yesterday?
No. I knew nothing about him, and I don't really care, honestly, too, because you know that guy's not going to be good. But regardless, the 3-and-D, I saw a new thing. 3-and-D that can cover a 2 and a 3, so that's a 3-D-2-3, Meg.
Wow. Thank you. Where would I be today without that information?
The wingspans are getting ridiculous. This guy, they're like, he's 6'9 and has a wingspan of a 7'8 man.
You're right. The wingspans keep getting bigger and bigger. It's like he's actually a California condor slash human.
But then you actually see them, and they're tall and skinny with gigantic wingspans. They're all so skinny and just tall and young. And the NBA draft is at a different place than it used to be when they had college players who we knew.
Yeah, that's true. 855-212-4227. Peter Schwartz is in with us this morning. He's providing all the headlines. Hello.
Hello. We'll start with the first round of the NBA draft in Brooklyn last night. First overall pick, the Hawks taking forward Zachary Risache. I knew I was going to mess that up at some point today. Risache from France. The Raptors had the second pick.
With the second pick in the 2024 NBA draft, the Washington Wizards select Alex Sarr from Toulouse, France, overtime elite, and Australia's Perth Wildcats of the NBL.
That was NBA Commissioner Adam Silver with the announcement on ESPN. How nervous do you think Adam Silver gets before these drafts with the international players? And even though it's probably all like so well phonetically put on the card for him, he's got to be really, really nervous.
I mean, this is the hardest probably for Bettman. I mean, those hockey names are never what you think they're going to be.
No.
And Goodell usually blows it.
Alex Schar is an easy one. Like,
yeah, that was the easy one.
Yeah, I won't say his name. That guy that started with a T and Denver, famously, he has a curse word at the beginning of his name. I don't want to say it. Nicholas, I won't say it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He was like the number four pick by...
Oh, Nicholas Skidishvili.
Okay, good. You said it.
What? That's his name.
Because it often ends up sounding like
something that Pete would have to dump?
Yes.
That's how I have a bigger problem with Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Packers.
Dan Patrick did the draft when Skidishvili was there. Yeah. He said everybody was panicking about it because it's not spelled like it sounds at all.
Oh, really? I thought it was, he was one of all-time bust, by the way.
Alexander Schar, that's easy, I think.
There was not easy.
There was I think I saw last week or the week before on X, a high school football player committed, or maybe it was a transfer. Somebody committed to Michigan State, and after they announced this with this graphic, people were commenting, rest in peace to the Michigan State radio play-by-play announcer for having to say.
Long?
It could have been racially offensive.
Yeah, no, that's a big thing. That kid.
I don't know if you saw that, but there was. So the last name, it was correct, and that's what it looked like. But if I was the radio announcer, I'm like, I just hope the guy doesn't get into the game.
Get that person a nickname. I don't know what it is. I didn't see the story, but
one thing about the NFL too. The last night, Adam Silver would be like, and he plays in the New Zealand NBL something Tigers. In the NFL, it's like he's a defensive tackle from Georgia. Like, we understand that. Like, Adam Silver's like, and he plays in some country. Like, that's the funny thing about the NBA draft is that how many of them play in Australia? We're like, what's going on down in Australia right now? They are balling out.
It's a great league.
Yeah,
we really know that, right?
I mean, LaMelo Ball played there. Josh Giddey played there. Like, it's approaching Europe level. They have really good ball players there.
There was one. Wasn't there a guy last night who decided not to go to Texas and instead went to Australia? I think that was one of the prospects.
Yeah, like, could have been.
Yeah.
Rounding out the
interesting choice.
rounding out the top five, the Rockets at three. Reed Sheppard from Kentucky. The Spurs take UConn guard Stephon Castle at four. And G League Ignite forward Ron Holland II taken by the Pistons at number five. Let's turn our attention now to the NFL. Titans defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons joining the Rich Eisen show yesterday. He says he cannot wait to talk trash with Bears rookie quarterback Caleb Williams.
It's going to be one of them games, especially. I mean, he probably get... smack talk to his, his teammates right now, but like, it's going to be, especially a game like that, my first game, like, of course I missed the last end of the season.
Right.
It's going to be the first game of the season. They got us coming to Chicago. All the hype going to be around them.
And also the painted nails.
Week one of the National Football League season will be the first human being on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
Painted nails.
In a game.
Painted nails.
I can't wait to say that to him.
For Caleb Williams.
Well, definitely.
Listen, I think this is just kids today. I mean, you saw McCain last night for the Philadelphia 76ers from Duke. He's got the famously manicured. Caleb Williams has got the manicured nails. This is the look now.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
Get used to it.
No, not for me.
Maybe we should all go get some.
Well, I do get manicures and pedicures, but they always ask me, do you want a color? I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well,
like, come on now.
You're in the salon, Peter.
It takes a lot for a guy to go into one of those places. You think I'm getting anything, any color on my fingernails?
Can I say something that might come off as mean, but I don't mean it? I would rather die right now than give you a pedicure.
Yeah, well, that's why I tip them very, very well.
But Matt, you have a chance to get out of your.
Because if my wife doesn't want to touch my toenails, I can't believe somebody else would want to.
Do you realize what they probably do? I would imagine in a nail salon,
a chainsaw.
When you come in, is probably whatever nail salon version of rookie hazing is. Like, whoever's the lowest person on the totem pole, they're like, get out there.
What size shoe do you wear?
14 wide.
Yeah. Do you have to pay double to get a pedicure?
No, I just tip them a couple of dollars more than I think the average person would.
Yeah, you got to go 20% on that. Because
I feel bad. I mean, it's not the nicest thing in the world to look at.
Maggie, when you're eating that lime jello tuna concoction,
don't tell me.
Just think. No, don't think about Peter's feet. Just think, it could be worse. The stakes could have been you have to give a foot massage to Peter. So it could always be worse.
I was thinking you guys always make fun of me about my big feet because I wear a size 9. Yeah, Peter's wearing a 14 wide.
Oh,
imagine if you are like, what size are your feet? I'm like, they're 14 wide.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're the best balance in the history of the world.
You're a ballerina compared to those
Frodo.
Feet. Yeah.
Sorry, Pete.
Simmons. Sashay. Simmons excited to play against Williams.
I get it. You know? You got a first round pick like Caleb Williams, which is a great player. You know, I watched him a couple of games when he was at USC, and, you know, he's a hell of a player, but it's a different league, and, you know, I'm excited to play him the first game.
That's going to be an interesting look, week one.
It's going to be exciting. EJ thinks the Bears are making the playoffs.
I mean, the odds are pretty good. They're actually, I think their win total is right at the playoffs. I don't think that's a hot take to think they're going to make the playoffs. The only thing is their division.
Early, no, but yes. It's just the thing about it is, so we think the Lions are making the playoffs, and we think the Packers are making the playoffs.
Yeah,
so are we really having three teams from the NFC North are all making the postseason?
I don't think the West is going to get two again. I think the Rams come down without Aaron Donald.
The East falls apart this year, and the South is terrible.
Yep.
So, well,
why would the East fall apart? Why?
Well, because I think that people think the Cowboys will take a step back, and the Eagles were terrible at the end of last year, and the Giants and the Commanders are still building.
I still think the Eagles and Cowboys are still making the playoffs.
Yeah, but I don't think either team is as strong as a position as they were coming into last year. Could you give me that?
I think Cowboys are the same. Isn't that the problem? It's not that they've really taken the step back. It's that they're just the same.
Yeah, but it's funny, like, expectation-wise, if you stay the same, that feels like a step back.
Yeah, I mean, they won 12 games last year. So I don't know if I would.
They definitely lost a bunch of guys too. I mean,
yeah, but are they guys who you were really crying to see walk out the door? I mean, think about it. Even Tyron Smith ends up going to the Jets, but that was like for no guaranteed money. They let him walk out.
Yeah, but still, like, expectation wise, like, you can't just take for granted you're losing one of the top five tackles of all time.
I
know he was never on the
field too.
Obiage.
Yeah.
And they lost Deron Bland left, too, I think, right?
The only thing I don't worry about with the Cowboys is the offensive line. I don't worry about it. They've got this down in terms of drafting.
Bland's still there, but
not Bland. They lost one of the...
Gilmore is still out there.
They lost one of their defensive linemen, too, like a rotational defensive lineman. Like, yeah, I don't know. It just feels like... But it has nothing to do with that. It's the fact that if you're not moving forward, you're like a shark. You're dying.
Yeah, they got Mike Zimmer coming in, though, for the defense. I'm not worried about that.
Oh, geez, Mike Zimmer. Oh, my God.
Maybe they'll get something out of their linebackers now, finally.
Dan Quinn, I don't know. He's better than Mike Zimmer. Anyway.
Okay, so we've got to leave it there, Peter. Thank you so much. Coming up at the top of the hour, this is when I'm going to pay off the bet. I'm going to eat the lime, jello, tuna fish, green olive thing. We've got to get it out of the fridge where it's been sitting for the last 20 hours. We've got to get it out of the mold, and we've got to get it onto a plate. I've brought my own spoon, so I got that covered. Can we handle all this in the next 20 minutes? 855-212-4227. We've got even more football for you before this all goes down at the top of the hour, so stay tuned. Welcome back. T-minus about 11 minutes until I have to pay off my lime, jello, tuna fish, green olive bet. I lost and doubled down on a bet in the NBA Western Conference playoffs.
Are we going to put plastic down on the floor? I think we should. We have some back in the office. I'll get it. I think we need to maybe... Are you going to wear a bib or something?
I didn't bring anything. Like, I don't have a poncho. I didn't bring any. I'm woefully unprepared for this, even though we've had plenty of time to get ready.
A poncho? Is that... We're talking about projectile vomiting here?
Maybe you should have the poncho.
Yeah, I should have the poncho. I'm fully prepared. I'm going to be on the balls of my toes here to escape when this thing goes awry.
I mean, I would like a garbage can just so I don't have to run out of the studio. I'd rather be able to just vomit right in here. Now,
a little history, by the way. You have actually thrown up at a food challenge, right?
I did. That was because I ate so much. I had to eat one large, like New York City large, like a wagon wheel, basically, pizza in 2 hours.
Your favorite food?
It's my favorite food. I didn't eat it for a long time after that.
Really?
And, yeah, and I ate it. I ate the whole thing in 2 hours, just hero status, as close as I'll ever get. And then I puked it all up.
I could eat that pizza in 15 minutes.
Well, I mean, if you want to relitigate this thing, I'm done with
that. No, I just don't want all those carbs.
So, by the way, I took a walk back there.
Yeah, give us an update.
Yeah, I walked back there. Wanted to look at the concoction, about to post to the social.
Yeah. I don't want to see it, actually, before I have
to. Okay, don't go to Twitter then, because it's going to be up in a couple minutes.
Okay.
It's Jello now.
Okay, good.
So I did a little bounce test. It's bouncy. The color on this is obscene.
Yeah, I know.
I don't even know how to describe this color. I know we said toothpaste earlier.
It's like mint.
No, this color doesn't exist. There's no analogy. There's no draft comp for this color.
No, but it's worse than yesterday.
It's not Wally Zerbiak?
Because it's not really even green anymore. I don't know what I would describe. It's like if you've been in an apartment that's like, you know, been condemned, and the walls that were once white become like another yellowish green color. That's what I'm looking at.
It's not aqua anymore?
No. It's not that aqua teal.
Yeah.
That, again, that like mint ice cream, maybe toothpaste that you can say, okay, maybe not. So this is now something, this has become something that I'm a little concerned about. Matt, your health, I'm very worried.
My stomach is turning already and there's nothing in it. That's the thing. I've only had coffee and water this morning.
I'm actually concerned this thing could start to reproduce and grow. I mean, that thing could be alive any minute now.
Oh, Delta's in the chat. Seafoam green? Is it seafoam green?
Nope.
Ooh.
No, it sure isn't. honestly, it looks like it was like picked out of Chernobyl.
Oh no!
It looks nuclear. It looks like some kind of superpower thing. Like this is an origin story about to start.
Seafoam green is fair. I had to look up what seafoam green was, make sure I knew what I was talking about. Yeah, I think that's the color I would say this is right now.
I'm worried about getting puke in my hair. All that. I'm worried about every single facet of this. Just like also having the images of me throwing up like on the internet, when I threw up the pizza, the only shot they got of it was like a blurry angle. People who are in the studio know, but it's kind of like evidence didn't bury me for the rest of time.
Michael Chamberlain's 100-point game. We don't know if it actually happened.
It's kind of a myth.
This is like Donovan McNabb at the Super Bowl. Is this going to stay with you?
Yes. Yeah. And there's no chance I'm winning, so also like Donovan McNabb.
This is seafoam green. I did not know this color existed.
I know. Look at Delta in our chat. By the way, if you want to watch this, there's three different ways you can do this. If you don't, our affiliates who we love, we're obsessed with you, Infinity Sports Network, you're going to get the full picture of what's going on. We'll do theater of the mind here. Bogish is actually going to come in and do play-by-play for this whole thing. So we've got a professional on our hands. You want to listen on the Odyssey app. It's absolutely free to download. If you'd like to listen on SiriusXM channel 158, I'm sure they're thrilled that we're doing this today. If you do want to watch this go down, though, there are three ways you can do it. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, or we will be live on X if you'd like to. On my Twitter handle, at Maggie Gray, I'll be going live. You'll get the main studio feed. You're going to get everything.
Here we go. Here we go. It's on.
Yeah. David said, head up, Maggie. You're truly a soldier. I don't think so.
No,
I am not brave. This is not going to be fun for me.
The T-Wolves Nuggets? The T-Wolves were already up one game and you thought the Nuggets would come back. When it was 58-38 in game 7.
I was like, ha-ha, ha-ha, ha-ha.
Yeah, I still, and then you saw that T-Wolves team that you saw against the Mavs. I mean, really, it's almost as if the universe went out of its way to make you lose this bet. Because basketball-wise, it still makes no sense.
It makes no sense. How was Denver at home in a game 7 up by 20 points, and how did they lose to the Timberwolves, who then went on to get smoked by Dallas?
It's bizarre.
You're right. It is like the universe was trying to teach me a lesson, and I'm learning it today.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Michael Porter played really badly. I don't know what else to say.
Biggie says Maggie's going to be more famous than the Hawk to a girl. Make some hats. Nobody's more famous than her.
Wow,
I can't even infringe on that level of fame.
I mean, we're talking like Taylor Swift level with her.
Yeah, no, I know. She's in a different stratosphere. And
yes, but there will be gagging involved in this too.
That's what's going on today, everybody. 855-212-4227. On the other side of this commercial break, I will eat this disgusting Jell-O. Oh, boy. See you in a minute.